A doctor went to a psychologist and he said, "Doctor, sometimes I feel like a teepee and other times I feel like a wigwam." And the doctor thought about it and he said, "You know, I think I'm going to have to treat you for anxiety. You're too tense." Thank you. I know. It's an awful pun. I can't help it. And for most people, anxiety is not funny at all. It's an ever-present demon. And considering issues that impact the family and can destroy marriages, anxiety and stress have to be at the very top of the list. In our world, stress is become something of a way of life. So many people are filled with anxiety about so many things. A Worth Roper survey last year found that among the things that produce anxiety in Americans are the following. Ready for your list? Making wrong choices with major investments. Having major dental work or surgery. Being audited by the IRS. Speaking in public. Being outdoors alone at night. Getting fat. Being pulled over for speeding. Seeing one's spouse flirt. Doing taxes by yourself. Being caught in a lie by a friend. And having a credit card declined in public, and using a computer. Yeah, I'm sure the list could go on and on and on, and you could add to that your own anxieties. What are the anxieties of your life? Are they unresolved issues, nagging problems, worries over your health or finances, work or relationships? And what success have you had in dealing with these anxieties? Have you accepted worry and anxiety as just a natural part of your life? I mean, it's going to be there. You might as well just live with it. Of course, we're not the first people to experience anxiety, although we may think that it is much greater today than anyone has ever experienced. Anxiety has been around for a long time and has been afflicting us for centuries. Even in Jesus' day, anxiety was everywhere. People standing on that mountainside when he delivered the Sermon on the Mount were no different than you and me. They had to deal with the problems of paying their bills, feeding their families, pleasing their employers, raising their children, paying their taxes, and saving for the future, just like we do. What would Jesus say to them to help them deal with the pressures and the fears of living? Well, Jesus did not skirt the issue. He did give them some, not just, you know, some pious platitude. He gave them some practical ideas for dealing with anxiety. He dealt directly with the cause and the cure for those worried. He said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And so immediately I want to ask, well, how does one command one not to be anxious, not to be afraid, not to worry? Every husband knows that if your wife comes to you with some problem, you don't tell her, "Honey, just don't worry about it." It doesn't work. Sorry, doesn't work. Our anxiety is a reaction to is almost involuntary for most of us. For most of us who lay awake at night, staring into the darkness, how do we understand Jesus' words in this text? Because like every command in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is defining a standard of conduct that, frankly, is impossible for us to do on our own. Life is stressful. Life is difficult. It's scary. And being honest, I can't think that it's fair that some are afflicted with anxiety reactions to life and others are not. But it's true that we are all wired differently. We call it genes or environment or temperament. Some Christians, they just don't seem to be anxious people. Anxiety for some of us is like the thorn in the flesh, though, that Paul asked God to remove from his life. Remember God's answer? "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Then Paul concluded, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." And here's my conclusion after years of preaching on this. Anxiety is a common enemy for every Christian. Jesus is not commanding us to get rid of anxiety on our own strength. He's not promising to take problems away, making anxiety unnecessary. When Jesus commands us not to worry, he's revealing this marvelous truth because God has promised to provide for the needs of those who trust him. We're no longer need to be victims of anxiety. We no longer need to be passively living with the enemy any longer. So it leads us to this truth. Anxiety is the life in the life of a believer is offset by the great leverage that God will provide supernaturally for those who trust him. Jesus said this, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, but I tell you that not even Solomon, all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. O you of little faith, do not worry. Aren't you not much more valuable than they? See, the Bible is full with promises about God's provision, and that gives us leverage against our anxieties. I will not leave you or forsake you. I will supply all of your needs. Cast your anxieties on me because I care about you. I have upheld you from your birth, even to an old age and gray hairs. I will sustain you. A believer breaks free from the power of anxiety when we appropriate these promises, God's promises, into our thinking. It's a fact our emotional responses to crisis follows our thinking patterns. Therefore, it becomes our responsibility to fill up our minds with what the Bible promises God will provide for us. So trusting God's provision during our anxiety reactions changes our response from panic to at least a sense of trust. This doesn't mean that we won't feel anxious. It means anxiety won't paralyze us, won't keep us from functioning. And some of us will have anxiety. Some of us will have it all of our lives as a thorn in our flesh. But its power to impact us, to shape our behavior, will decrease as we fill up our minds with the adequacy of what God can do for us, with God's resources rather than ours. A minister wrote once, I have often tried to conceal my fear of public speaking. I will always be anxious about standing up and preaching, but I have grown to where I know Jesus is with me so much that my anxiety isn't a giant anymore. To the degree that I preach, in spite of my involuntary gut reaction, I feel I am obeying the command of Jesus not to worry. The reality is that I am no longer allowing anxiety to control my behavior. I'm functioning in spite of its presence because I am confident that God will provide. That's all that I need to know. So let me list some of the ways I believe that we can appropriate God's provisions that Jesus offers. And at the very top of the list, of course, is prayer. Prayer is at the top. With all my heart, I believe that prayer is an alternative to panic. Listen to what Paul wrote. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6. If you get no other words to take with you, take those with you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In the past year, we have celebrated countless times God's provisions for our lives through the prayer that we offer for each other. I have warned people to be careful about what they pray for around this place, because so often we'll pray for something and it happens and we all look at each other like, hey, why did that happen? I say, well, you prayed for it. Well, yeah, but I didn't. Okay, you get the idea. In the dark of the night, I remind myself that God answers prayers over and over and over again. And remember, God's answers to prayers in the past helps to replace anxiety in our hearts that the future challenges and crises will be managed successfully. A second way to appropriate God's cure for anxiety is to follow his advice that our Lord gives us in another text when he says, if we seek to save our lives, we will lose it. But if we lose our lives, we will find them. I know a woman who has taken on a ministry of her own within her church as a way to get rid of anxiety and panic. She has, and all the negative things, she has attached herself to a ministry to an older woman in the church. Now, they're both relatively young, but an older woman. And she's adopted this woman in the church and does things for her, like taking her shopping for groceries and helping her when her sink got clogged and bringing her children over to play in her den and sitting and listening to stories. But on the surface, none of this is very remarkable. It's just, human kindness. But she is a living parable that one cure for anxiety is to get the focus off of yourself. to get the storms of your own life set aside and focus on the needs of somebody else. I believe that to demonstrate this kind of self-giving love and compassion in a society where self-love is dominant, that caring for another person is a supernatural cure for an anxious spirit. A third way to appropriate God's provision in our time of personal need is to adopt the discipline of living one day at a time. Oh, I'm looking at you. Looking right at you. Yeah. Because I'm sitting here and you're thinking yourself, yeah, but you know, Friday's coming. Friday's going to be here. Yeah. Thank you, preacher. I appreciate that. It's great. I'll be tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be fine. But you know, Friday's coming. I get that. Some of us can relate to this. Jesus warns us that every day has enough trouble. Every day. So don't allow any of tomorrow's issues to invade today. You know, some of you can relate to Charlie Brown. You remember him? Yeah. He's in a show. He and Linus are walking along, and Linus is dragging his blanket, and it says, you know, you look kind of depressed today, Charlie Brown. And he said, yeah, I worry about school a lot. And then he says, I worry about my worrying so much about school. And then he sits down on a branch and he says, you know, my anxieties have anxieties. Yeah, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Every person in recovery knows the strength of facing just one day at a time. Spacing life's burdens by carrying only what God intends you to carry today. Living in the daylight compartments and knowing that 95% of what you worry about is not going to happen. With the peace of Jesus Christ calming the storms in your heart and in your mind. This, you see, is a cure for anxiety. I am anxious when I think that I am alone in this life. I am anxious when I think that everything depends on me. I am anxious when I do not trust in the goodness and provision of the Lord to take care of me. I am anxious when my focus is on me and my needs. And I am anxious when I think that I need to manipulate circumstances to get my needs met. But when I trust, genuinely trust in the Lord, anxiety seems to fall away. And the choice, it's one of those times when the choice is really ours. We can choose to borrow trouble from tomorrow and live life as if God is not there, or we can trust Him and seek Him with all our hearts. The prophet Habakkuk gave us a challenge when he said, though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit in the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I'll rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He's made me my feet like hinds' feet and make me walk in high places. So, friends, I know it's hard. Anxiety is around the corner. Every time you turn on the television and you turn it off, you bring on tomorrow's problems and next week's and next month's. And I understand that. It's something we all struggle with. But I wish for you today a peace that comes from trusting God and trusting in His promises. And I wish for you the mind of Christ giving this confidence that His eye is on the sparrow and I know that He watches me. And you and each one of us. Let us pray for that. Our Father, we are people who are anxious about so many things, and yet it takes away from our lives. It hurts us in so many ways, and yet it seems to be a problem not just for us, but for the whole world. So help us. Help us to live lives that at least recognize that we are not in charge of everything, that we can rest on your promises. And your care and your providence and all of the things that you do to love and care for us. Help us to turn that over to you over and over and over again, that our lives become something with a sense of peace. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.